the Veterinary Financial Podcast, where we discuss financial freedom and professional success. I'm Meredith Jones, a veterinarian and financial planner for vets.
And I'm David Azis. I'm also a financial planner for vets.
Today, we are talking about when an employer offers a student loan benefit. Over the past few years, especially since COVID, it has become more common for employers to offer a student loan benefit. And there actually was a law passed during COVID. So the American Rescue Plan Act was passed, and that included an ability for employers to give up to $5,250, so $5,250 per year, toward student loans to their employees. It's a tax-free benefit, but big caveat, as we're mentioning this on the podcast for the first time, I think, it ends at the end of 2025.
Okay. So does it even matter anymore, is the question. Should any employer be basing plans off of it? Could be extended. We don't know. I have some spicy thoughts on this topic, but Meredith, I'll let you continue first.
Okay. If it's something that your employer offers to you, and maybe it's something that's been going for a couple of years since this came around during COVID, then okay, I mean, I'll take free money, right? You know, toward my student loans. But this is going to end as a tax-free, at least as it stands now, unless they extend this, it's going to end as a tax-free benefit starting at the beginning of 2026. So if your employer is still giving you this money next year, it would be taxable. And the other thing that we run into pretty quickly is a couple things. One, does that payment actually count as your student loan payment? I've seen programs where the answer is yes, and I've seen programs where the answer is no, and you would still have to make your payment anyway. And so if you're going for forgiveness and you're still having to make your payment and your employer's just adding on extra money, then it's really not of any significant benefit to you. What do you think about that, David?
I agree. I think the problem is that in many scenarios, it's a very inefficient way to pay your employee. And here's what I mean by that. If someone is going for forgiveness, which we know a lot of vets are, so if a large portion of vets are going for forgiveness and the employer pays your student loans directly to the servicer with this benefit, so the money doesn't go into your pocket, it goes straight to the servicer, what happens if the benefit, whether it's the $5,250 or whether you've negotiated a $10,000 benefit in the future and it's taxable, I don't know. But what if that benefit that goes towards your student loans is greater than the minimum monthly payment? Well, if that happens, then what would theoretically happen is that the balance would just be lowered very slightly by whatever the overage is, or would go up by less than what it would have been, I guess. But if you're going for forgiveness at the end of the tunnel, and that whole balance is going to get forgiven anyway, and that extra overage above your minimum monthly payment on an IDR, on an income-driven repayment plan, doesn't count for more forgiveness credit, then all the employer is effectively doing is tipping the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing to point out, too, is SAVE is going to go away as a plan, right? We're waiting for the SAVE court actions to finish, but SAVE is not going to be a plan moving forward. And so if you're already on pay or you're already on IBR, any additional payment beyond your regular required payment is really just going to go to unpaid interest anyway.
Yeah, and assuming that this benefit, whether it's the $5,250 or an increased amount or whatever you negotiate with your employer, if it is taxable after 2025 is over, then, oh my gosh, this could actually cost you money. Because if the benefit is now taxable and they're not efficiently applying it to only your minimum monthly payment, now you get taxed on this benefit. And the money's not even going to you. It's going towards lowering your forgiveness benefit. If you're in, like, let's say, California and you're a small animal GP vet making what those make, and you're effectively in like the California state plus federal income taxes would be probably around 35-ish% for you. Mm-hmm. If they give you this $10,000 benefit that doesn't hit your bank account, it just hits the student loan servicer, and now it's taxable, you're going to owe another $3,500 in tax that year. And if they didn't efficiently allocate it according to your student loan strategy, you paid $3,500 more in taxes and maybe didn't save on your student loans at all. It's nuts.
Right. And when we say taxable, we mean that that student loan benefit is actually counted as income. So the IRS would see any taxable student loan benefit, they're just going to treat it exactly like income. So if you're in the 24% federal tax bracket, like a lot of vets are, you're going to be paying 24% taxes on that money that's supposed to be a benefit from your employer.
Yep. And this is actually, FYI for the viewers, this has come up because we've seen a few more of like, whether it's news articles or I've even had a few clients who it came time to renegotiate their employment contract. And this was pitched as an idea either by mm-hmm. the employee or by the employer. Unless you're going for payoff. Because if you're going for payoff, this does save money. If you're not going for payoff, it gets complicated.
Yeah.
And in like 4 out of 5 potential ways they could structure it in the not going for payoff, it either didn't save you money or it did cost you money. So it's just if you're trying to negotiate a higher pay, this tends to be not, in my opinion, the best way to do it.
Yeah, and I think this also comes about, like, part of the reason that this is happening is that a lot of employers, well, they're using it as a recruiting tool, for one thing, because, they know that one of the top concerns of newly graduated veterinarians is student loans. So that's one of the reasons that they're using this is for recruiting, whether it's a private practice or whether it's a hospital group. The other thing is there's a misconception among the employers. They often don't understand that the majority of new and recent grads are going for forgiveness with their student loans. And so there's this misconception out there. They're thinking you're going to pay it to zero when you're actually not. And so they sometimes don't realize that they're actually offering a benefit to you that is not as helpful or actually potentially detrimental to you because you're going to end up paying extra money in taxes. And there's an article, because I know we're getting a little bit into the weeds about this. There's an article that we'll link to in the show notes. It's one that Travis Hornsby wrote where he talks about this particular employer benefit being unhelpful for most people. So we'll make sure that we link to that. Other thing that I wanted to make sure we talk about is private student loans. So sometimes, and it depends on how the employer structures the program, sometimes this benefit can be applied to private student loans if you happen to have private student loans. And if so, then it would be a benefit to you because, of course, private student loans have to be paid to zero.
Yeah. There are some situations where, and it's you can might maybe see the common theme here, if you're going for payoff and or private student loans, which is another payoff case, it benefits. I have some spicy thoughts on, like, what should you do instead if you don't happen to fall in the, this is objectively a pure benefit to you. But Meredith, what do you think would be, like, better than this type of deal structuring when it comes to comp?
Well, honestly, what I think would be better is just give me the money and let me do what I want to with it.
Yes, that's literally what I was about to say. When I was a kid and people wanted to give me gift cards, I would say, why give me a $50 gift card to a store that I don't go to? Mm-hmm. Give me $50 in cash. It costs you the same and I can now use it efficiently. I was terrible as a kid as far as how to get a gift, as you can see. I just wanted cash when I was trying to raise money as a 12-year-old to buy my first like real big boy guitar. I would trade in gift cards that I got from birthdays. I would like, if you guys know GameStop, just real quick tangent, I'll bring it back to student loans, I promise. But I used to be into video games before I really got into guitar. So my 11th and 12th birthday, people would give, as I got into guitar, people would give me a bunch of GameStop gift cards. And so what I would do is take that gift card into GameStop. They said, no, we can't just exchange this for cash. You need to use it to buy video games. But I knew that they had a 7-day return policy on video games. So I would just go try to buy as many video games to max out the gift cards as possible, walk out the door, walk right back in, and then exchange the video games for cash because the cash was more efficient. And so where am I going with this? It's just to say, if you want to negotiate higher pay, sometimes it just makes more sense to get paid more. Yes, you might take a tax hit, meaning, hey, if you get a $10,000 retention bonus once a year and you're in a high tax bracket, maybe that's $6,000 after taxes. Okay, you still made $6,000 more, and you didn't have to worry about whether the employer is setting up the program correctly to make it kosher chicken with the IRS rules. You don't have to worry about them allocating it correctly to your student loans. So yes, if it is the case that the taxability of this type of benefit does get extended and you are able to make sure that they get the money to you in like your pocket, for example, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not the case, I would just, maybe if you find out your employer is willing to, after they have to pay payroll taxes, for example, on an increased pay, like they're willing to after tax give you whatever, $10,000 or whatever, like you can redo the math, say, okay, just give me like a $7,000 or $12,000 retention bonus once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you don't have to factor it in how is it going to impact your production? Because if you just increase your base by it, it might not even be a raise. So more money is more money, I like to say. If it's an easy tax benefit to take advantage of, like, go for it. But if it's not, more money is more money.
Yeah, and the other thing along with that is some practices that are offering this, they're offering it knowing that it's temporary. And you may have better luck if you're negotiating. Say you're negotiating something different from a student loan benefit because it might benefit you more. You might have better luck negotiating a bonus, like you were just saying, like retention bonus or a sign-on bonus, hopefully without a lot of strings, or prorated per month so that you're not stuck in an employer you don't want to be stuck at. But negotiating this as a bonus instead of saying, oh, well, increase my guaranteed base salary by $5,000. They might not do that.
One thing I'm seeing too is sometimes these benefits, especially the larger ones, they might be like, yeah, you know, it'll be paid out over the course of 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, 4 years, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with the employer doing that, but just for the vet, I would say keep in mind that they a lot of the times would rather, you know, it sounds good, especially if we're talking really big numbers of a student loan benefit, but on top of keep in mind all the things we just said of how it could be misallocated, also keep in mind that they might stretch out the term and they might even say you don't have to repay it back, just like, you know, because, you know, if you have a sign-on bonus and you leave a year and they might say give half of it back, those exist. And some of these programs might not have that and that might sound good, but that's just an excuse of them, not an excuse, but employers know that not 100% of vets stay for 3, 4, 5 years. They move on. And so if they promise this big sticker tag to be paid out over X amount of years, they know 50%, 80%, they know a good amount of people aren't going to stick around to exhaust the entire benefit anyway. Mm-hmm. And so just keep that part in mind.
Yeah. And that reminds me of, there is a new $60,000 benefit that I've seen advertised recently that's being marketed to vet students. So a large hospital group is marketing this to vet students, and they're saying, okay, if you sign on with us while you're a vet student, if you sign on with us that you're going to work with us upon graduation, then we'll give you $20,000 a year toward your student loans. And so everything that we've covered so far in this podcast applies to that decision as well. That $20,000 would be taxable. If that benefit for the 5250 is extended, okay, maybe the first part of that wouldn't be taxable, but the remaining, you know, approximately 15,000 would still be taxable. And you got to think about your overall strategy with student loans, because if you, well, let's ask this question this way, David. Okay, if you borrow 400,000 in loans and you are on an income-driven repayment plan, is your payment higher than if you borrowed 200,000 in student loans?
No, it's the same, because income-driven repayment plans don't care what your balance is or the interest rates. They only care about your income.
Right. So if your loan is paid down by $60,000, does it change your payment?
Nope, not at all. And so what's funny is in that example too, if we got a 20K benefit per year, totaling 60,000 over 3 years, well, 20K a year is 1666 per month. And if you are going to go for loan forgiveness, because you did the math, and this is targeted at for new grads a lot, right? So if you're a new grad and you're going for forgiveness, one of the more common strategies is you might want to consolidate immediately out of vet school, get on an income-driven repayment plan at $0 a month to start accumulating credit, because, and you'd be at $0 a month because either you worked part-time or not at all in vet school, right? Mm-hmm. And then even the next year after that, maybe you file a tax extension, maybe you get fancy, but even if you don't get fancy, your second year's worth of payments at most is going to be based off of probably just working as a vet full-time for half the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so your payment the second year out on any IDR plan is probably going to be very low too. So if you got a $0 payment for a year and maybe a $500 a month payment for year two, those first 2 years, that $1,666 benefit a month is not saving you any money.
Right.
I guess the second year it saved you $500 a month in cash flow maybe, but it's still a very inefficient use of those funds. And I'm also not like trying to take down any employer who's trying to offer this. Like, it is good ideas and it's good to offer benefits to vets. It's just the employers might be costing themselves more too, because if it wasn't helping you and they're paying $1,666, they'd be better off leaving all tax benefits on the table that second year, just paying you $1,000 more a month instead of paying the loan servicer $1,666. It's complicated.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we're not trying to fault any, you know, large hospital group or practice wanting to help out, you know, wanting to help new grads. It's not that. And like I said, a lot of people don't understand, right? Because they don't know that income-driven repayment and forgiveness are a thing. And so, you know, they're just thinking, gosh, you know, this is going to help them so much and it'll help with recruiting too. And it's a win-win. But there are ways that it's not a win-win.
So what do you think with all this information? Someone gets three different offers from three different practices near graduation or after graduation. How should vets consider this benefit, if at all? How should this impact, do you think? I have my own ideas, but how do you think this should impact their decision-making process as far as where to work?
I honestly don't think it should impact their decision at all.
I agree. I think if you are going to go the route, it's the same thing. I would coach a vet to be like, hey, where am I going to get the best mentorship?
Yep.
What path will lead me to the type of medicine that I want to practice? Mm-hmm. And that's really it, honestly. Because if you can get the best mentorship out of school on the route that is the type of vet that you want to be, like if you want to go be an ER vet, go be an ER vet. Do that route. If you want to be a small animal GP associate, do that. If you want to be a large animal vet, do that. And find the best mentorship with that type of medicine that you want to do. Because if you could become the best practitioner, that will, in the long run, make you the most money. It's like, don't let the... I always butcher this. What's the saying of don't let the tax tail wag the dog? Is that the saying?
I think you got it.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
don't let the incentives change your overall career trajectory. Go with what's the best fit for me. And if they so happen to offer a benefit like this, then cool, you'll just want to do the math to make sure that you're maximizing the benefit as most as possible. Like, don't not take the benefit if you were going to work for that employer anyway. And
well, unless they would give you a bonus instead.
That's true. Unless they're willing to play ball and make it a win-win, right? Like, you could say, hey, this will cost you 20 grand less, employer, if you just pay me this much more but forego the benefit, right? Like, you can make it a win-win, especially with smaller practices where, like, you talk to the HR and be like, oh, what if we just do this instead? And, you know, negotiating doesn't have to. A lot of vets get really anxious when it comes to negotiating pay, I feel like, but it doesn't have to be. Just come at it from a win-win standpoint.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So this gives you something to think about when you come across an employer that offers a student loan benefit and gives you some questions to ask and some food for thought.
I guess with that, if you are curious on how to best maybe negotiate your contract, I don't know, or you're like, you have this type of benefit and you're not sure how to best use it to save the most money, or even better yet, you just want help with everything finance because, yes, it can get very complicated. What if you could get fiduciary veterinarian-specific financial planning advice that's student loan aware that could change your life? Go to slpwealth.com/vet. That's slpwealth.com/vet for a free 15-minute intro call to see if we'd be a good fit for you. I'd love to just chat with you, even if you don't sign up. I always love talking to listeners. I think that's so cool. And something I still need to get used to. I've had a few intro calls of people reaching out and they're like, I know you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, really? I don't know. Like, I'm still not used to that, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and our clients are listening too, which is awesome. So,
hi, clients.
All right. And until next time, take care and continue your path to financial success.
This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered individualized financial advice.
If a specific investment is mentioned, it should not be considered a recommendation or endorsement to buy or sell the investment.
All investments involve risk.
Past performance does not guarantee future results.
You are encouraged to seek the advice of a financial professional before implementing any investment strategies discussed.
Yay, compliance.